Good morning, everybody. Excuse me. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. I am Scott Wolmering, the host of the show today. Ryan O'Neill is out with a little bit of laryngitis. Can't really talk, so he's taking a break. Really big treat. We have Rodolfo Trujillo, who is one of the top agents on the Minnesota real estate team, and then James Dill with the PM Network. He is our contractor extraordinaire. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. If you have not caught the show before, this is our 20th year, guys. 20th year on air doing the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We talk everything real estate and mortgage related as it has to do with the Twin City market. And I'd like to introduce Rodolfo. Welcome to the show, Rodolfo.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for having me here. And I do my best to cover the shoes of our fierce leader, Ryan O'Neill. So it's going to be tough, but I'll give it a try.
Those are very small shoes to fill. At the beginning of the show, we get into market updates. We'll get into that in a second. We're going to talk about kind of what's going on a year-over-year snapshot, and then we're going to talk a little bit about mortgages. But before we do that, Rodolfo, I wanted you maybe just tell the listeners a little bit about your story because it's so cool. You know, you were an immigrant. You came over from Mexico years ago. Why don't you tell them? So
absolutely. Well, thank you, Scott. Well, my name is Rodolfo Trujillo. I go by RT. I moved to Minnesota back in 98. I came here with $200 and a dream.
Yeah.
And I'm an architect by trade. That's what I went to school for in Mexico. I got here. I couldn't get a job as an architect, and they forced me to go back to school 2 more years. So I was in debt. I was not happy. And then somebody was kind enough to say, well, you're good with houses, you're good with people, you're bilingual, you should be doing real estate.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know. I never sold anything. I don't know how to do that.
Well, and at that time, what was your English like?
Oh, my English was worse than now.
Yeah. Well, it's great. So
it was tough. I mean, I only knew probably a few words here and there. And,
sure.
So it was complicated for sure, but, I was determined to succeed, you know. Now the person that is my wife now challenged me at the time, and, she said the magic words to me. And I said, I think the reason you don't want to move to the United States is because you're afraid that you're not going to succeed. And, when she said that, I said, well, let's go.
That's a challenge, exactly.
That's the reason I came here, you know. But, it took me 2 years, to be fair with you, to catch, you know, my break here, if you may.
Sure.
Somebody said that to me, said you should be doing real estate. I went back to get my license on real estate, and I said, wow, I've been here 2 years, and I owe more money than I ever made in my life, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that helped me to start. And then when I started in real estate, that was in 2000, so I had my license for 25 years.
Yep.
It was only a handful of people that did real estate that spoke Spanish. So I focus 100% of my efforts on the Hispanic community, and thanks to my community, I'm where I am not right now. So I'm very grateful. I was able to open the first RE/MAX franchise as a Hispanic-owned franchise. I was the first member of the Board of Realtors, non-white.
Yeah.
So those sort of things that I'm very proud of, you know. And I want to tell everybody, I know in the difficult times that we have right now with everything that is happening in immigration, just don't be discouraged, you know, continue forward, do your thing, be smart, you know, be a nice person, and good things happen.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure having you on. And again, Rodolfo is one of the top agents consistently on the team, and that is a team of, you know, 250 agents, and Rodolfo is always at the top, takes care of his clients, hard work, perseverance. We talk about that on the show all the time, and you definitely epitomize that. Why don't we just get into some market updates? So let's talk a little bit about these are year-over-year numbers. So what did the market look like last year from listings and so on? And then we'll talk a little bit about mortgage rates.
Yeah, give me a second here, Scott. I'm going to talk about the week ending of November 29, if you mind, first.
Yep.
And then I open the other part of it. So for new listings, so we have a decrease in new listings by 11.6%, down to 465. On pending sales, we have a decrease or 7% to 556, and the inventory increased by 0.5% to 9,671. And for the month of October, the median sales price increased 2.1% to 389,000. The days on the market increased by 6.7% to 48 days. And the percent of original list price received increased by 0.3% to 98.1%. The monthly supply of homes for sale decreased 3.6% to 2.7%. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's interesting, and this has been kind of, excuse me, kind of what we've seen over the last 3 to 4 years, kind of creeping into December around that 9,000, 10,000 homes on the market. And again, for people that have not caught the show, we talk about all the time, a balanced market in the Twin Cities is about 18, 19,000 homes. So that means that there's the equal amount of buyers, equal amount of sellers out there. Right now with 9,000, it's a heavy, heavy seller's market. But I will tell you, and Rodolfo, you can maybe talk on this a little bit. It is very interesting. I'm taking clients out later today in a real entry level price point. We're looking from 350 to 450, and we're looking in five cities: Apple Valley, Lakeville, Farmington, Rosemount, Burnsville, a little bit in Eagan. There's 144 homes on the market in that price range. If this was 2 years ago, there would have been eight. I mean, there would have been nothing. And a lot of homes in that price range sitting 70 days, 80 days, 90 days, multiple price reductions. And so even though it's a heavy seller's market, it happens all the time. Sellers are getting a little greedy. You know, they saw their neighbor's house sell in 2 minutes with 55 offers on it, and they got 30 grand over. So everybody keeps trying to grab a little bit more of that price. And we've only had a reduction in interest rates from 7.25% a year to go to about 6.25%. But people are pushing back on it. They don't like the number. They don't like the affordability. And so it is very, very important right now to listen to your agent, to make sure you're hitting that prime number. And you know what? We're actually up against our first break. So why don't we'll piggyback on that when we get back and talk a little bit about mortgage rates. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. I am not Ryan O'Neill. Ryan O'Neill is off today, taking care of his voice. Maybe we should talk about that too. This is that time of year where Ryan and his brother, the Piano Brothers, they do a concert in Bloomington every year to raise money for the O'Neill Foundation. And there are still seats available. I actually just booked mine. I got a couple in the front row, and there were only maybe, there weren't a lot, but there are still some available. And so you can go to pianobrothers, it's either .org or .com, or just Google Piano Brothers. Or the O'Neill Foundation.org. The O'Neill Foundation is a foundation that Ryan and his brother set up to help families in the Twin Cities. And it is incredible. I think they've helped over 350 families at this point. And the way that you do it is you submit, let's say you have a friend that's in a hard time, you submit a request, they review it, and then this is immediate help. So, some of the examples are, a gentleman with ALS, somebody stole his van and stole his scooter. And this is not a long process. Within 3 days, new scooter, got him another van, family living in their car because they lost their job with their kids, and they're able to step in and help them. So if you are in the giving spirit, I can tell you 100% there is not a better foundation out there to give your money to. And the concert, if you want to bring your family, it is a super fun event. You've been having it, Rodolfo.
Yeah, no, it's a great event. You guys should, if you have the opportunity, you should do it. Again, I'm going to say it is Saturday, December 20th. There's two shows, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. And you can go to www.pianobrothers.com. You can get your tickets there. It's not just an awesome concert. It's also funny. Yeah. They do some sketches. I mean, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Everybody should go. And I will double down on what Scott said. One of the best places if you feel generous, yeah, is the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Absolutely. That is a phenomenal thing that they're doing. And it's incredible. Every single dollar that you donate to this foundation go directly to somebody.
That's right.
There's no intermediaries or anything. Everything is put back to the community. And it is remarkable what they're doing at the foundation.
Transparency.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah, it is.
100%.
It's very, very cool. So again, like Rodolfo said, if you were in the giving spirit, you could not put your money in a better place than going there. Again, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the year-over-year numbers. And one of the things that Rodolfo and I were talking about after the break is a year ago, the time on market was 45 days.
That is correct. 45 days, October of 2024, and it's 48 days now. So it's only three days difference. But you were saying before the break, Scott, it's very true. Many people, and most humans, including myself, we always remember the best parts of it, right? Yep. So everybody, when we go to listings appointments, we talk to people. Everybody want prices from the pandemic time.
That's right.
Well, that's not going to happen. No, we need to be realistic. And we were talking on the break. If we continue that trend, we'll be in another 2008. We'll be in a very better dark place, you know. You cannot increase the value of homes by 15, 17, 20% year over year. That's impossible. Everybody, I mean, what happened back then and what is happening and what happened in the pandemic also affected the pricing, you know. Now, an entry-level price now is $389,000. Sure. That's incredible. That's so right. It makes it really difficult.
Well, it is. And what is what's also interesting at that time, that 4 months of 2022, when interest rates were at 2.7%, you know, people have asked, you know, are we in an appreciating market? We definitely are. But if you bought in that 5 month period of 2022 when rates were at 2.7%, I've run these numbers a few times. I've talked about them on the show. An average split level between 1990 and 1999 at that time was $425,000. When that ended and rates went back to 7, a 1990 to 1999 split level was about 365. So if you bought during that time, it was the only 4 or 5 months where you were buying a payment. And good for you. You've got a really low payment. Hopefully you're in the house for a long time. But I'm sure you advised your clients the same way I did. You got to understand, guys, that this is going to have to be a little bit longer term hold, because we're not going to stay at 2.7%. Rates are going to go up. They always do. And at that time, the value of your house is going to drop back a little bit. And, but outside of that, we've been moving at a nice, you know, 4% appreciation. It's what we want to see.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely what I used to tell my clients back then. I said, like, what is happening right now, even though the house is more than it used to be, but the rates are so low that your payment is still lower. So you have to understand what is happening in this time of year, or what happened in the pandemic was we were borrowing the equity on our homes
that's
for 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
And that's what is still affecting what now. That's what the inventories are short now. Normally, in a regular market, I've been doing this not as long as
years.
You probably,
yeah,
the same,
yeah,
25 years, yeah. Every 5 to 6 years, people will move. You know, everybody moved, and there was a cycle that happens. Well, those 2, 3 years of the pandemic stopped that cycle, because now if you have a rate of 2.7 or 2 or 3, it's very difficult to sell your house, because when you jump to the exact same house at a 7%,
that's
your
right.
payment increased by $500.
That's
so
right.
That is what is happening, I think, is one of the main factors, not so much the rate, because I tell all my clients, I said, if you look at the rates for the last 25 years, the average rate between 6.25 to 6.5.
That's right.
So we're right in it. But again, we always remember the good thing, and we always remember, what about, one thing that happens to me all the time, Scott, maybe the same for you, many of my buyers said, I'm going to wait until the rates go back down.
Yeah, I know.
And I said, well, that means you don't want to buy it all.
That's right.
You know, it's not going to happen. Something drastic needs to happen that none of us want to happen.
That's right. Well, and again, if you look at the numbers, so let's say you have rates right now at 6.25, and that's about where they're at.
Yep.
I don't have them in front of me, but about 6.25. I've had a couple clients lock in with perfect credit in the high fives.
Yep.
And when that happens, I know what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought there for a second. But one thing I wanted to go back to the 2.7%. The other thing that I talked to my clients about at that time is it's not a bad time to buy, because you are getting that 2.7% rate. Just make sure that when you exit, meaning you're going to sell, if it's going to be within 2 or 3 years, you're going to be upside down. But if you have the ability to keep it as a rental, you have a really low payment on a house that most people are now going to be paying much, much more for. So it's a good investment. You know, we talked a lot about, and you can maybe pick back on this as well. You know, Ryan bought the majority of his investment property between 2003 and 2005. If you were to put a pin on a board of the absolute worst time that you could ever buy investment property, those would have been the 2 years, because it was at the absolute max of value. And then, of course, 2006, 7, 8 hit, everything dropped in half. But it only matters when you're exiting, because those properties, they cash flow. That's what you're buying them for. You know, let's say you bought them for $400, now they're worth $200, which was the number.
Yep.
But as long as they're cash flowing, and here we are now 20 years later, 25 years later, they're all back above the value. Most of them are paid for. And so if you have the ability to hold your 2.7% rate as a rental, well, now you become an investor before you move on to your next property.
100%. And that's, I think, the key with real estate. And I tell all my clients, buying or selling, I say, when you buy real estate, it's an investment, but it's a long-term investment.
Right.
You know, it's not like flipping it the next day. That's very difficult. But if you wait, if you're patient, even in the down markets, but I only seen it twice,
yeah.
You know, and The bigger one was 2008, 2009. Yeah. That was probably the biggest change that ever happened. But if you're patient enough and you wait enough, and I agree with you when you said when we have the rates at 2.7 or 3 or below, I was still my clients at that time. It's like free money. You better take it right now. It pretty really mattered the price of the house. You know, as long as it's cash flow, if you can keep it, we own some rentals, and we refinance every single one at a 3%. And the cash flow increased by $500 in every home.
That's right.
And now I don't care. I'm going to just wait until the very end, or that's my retirement plan now.
That's right.
You know?
Yep, that's
so
right.
If you're patient, real estate is always a good way to do it.
That's right. Hey, 612-294-6949 is how you can join the discussion. You can either call us at that number or text us. If you have any questions, we would love to hit them on, love to hit them on air. We have got a great guest, one of our preferred partners, talking about transparency with Ryan and his foundation, James Dill and the PM Network. You've taken transparency to probably one of the most, extreme, an area that people don't trust. You're a contractor.
Yeah.
Well, people don't understand how that works. What does it cost? How does it, why do they come up with the money? Am I getting screwed? Am I not getting screwed? And you guys have brought that to a transparent level. So maybe talk a little bit about your company and how you guys go about it.
Yeah, transparency. I mean, we really just believe in that. I think that, the industry's been missing transparency for a long time. And even when we were talking about the foundations, a lot of foundations aren't transparent.
That's
a lot
right.
of money doesn't go to the people who really need it. And so, yeah, but when it comes to construction and remodeling, we believe that we believe in a model that's better for, that's more focused on the client needs and not the, not trying to protect, every company has to protect their interests, but being focused on the client's interests as well as the company interests and putting the client first, that's kind of how we operate.
Well, and it's, any of us that have dealt with builders before, the biggest issues that clients have with a builder is they go in, they sit down, they take their little stubby pencil out, they come up and, okay, your house is going to be $825,000. Well, then you start, and they like a different chandelier, and they want to move a wall. And all of a sudden, that $825,000 becomes $925,000. And it really makes people mad. Now, obviously, they're changing things, and everything costs money, but the consumer doesn't think it costs as much as it actually does. Where you guys have gone to, what do? You do three bids that they're able to see. So your numbers are a lot more kind of fine-tuned.
Yes. We really fine-tune our numbers. So like when we start a project, we will bring in, we'll help bring in all the tradesmen. We'll figure out all the materials. And we'll allow the client to, we'll work with the client on who to select. So they actually know who's in their house. They know the tradesman who's doing the framing. They know the tradesman who's doing the plumbing. And so we're not just bringing in only our own guys, and it's kind of invisible of who we're bringing in. They get to know who's coming in. They know the exact cost of that specific tradesman. They pay them directly, and we manage all those payments. And so it's very transparent, very streamlined, but we're extremely organized. So all those details of the materials, the tradesman, every single number is figured out before we get started on our project. There's no surprises. Unless there's something in the wall that you didn't see.
Yeah, yes. Well, of course. Yeah, it's one of those industries. Again, I think of it with the building. I always tell my clients, and I'm sure, Rodolfo, you probably have something similar, where, you love the house at 900, add 10% to that. Because when you get into it, you're going to want a different toilet. Your wife's going to want a different chandelier. Things are going to happen. So I would say if you just add 10% to it from the beginning, you're going to be happy. But you're going to change things. It's fun. It should be fun.
Yeah.
So just know there's going to be a little pain from a dollar standpoint. And it's there. Hey guys, we're at our second break here, at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We'll be back and we will talk a little bit more with James Dill and talk a little bit more about real estate. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Minnesota State, the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We're in the second half of the show. We love your comments and feedback. You can give us a call at 612-294-6949. You can text us to that number, and we will handle your question as it comes on. And we did get a text question at the break, Rodolfo. Maybe you can handle this one. It says, "I'm a first time home buyer. Is it better for me to wait to put a larger down payment down, or should I jump into the market now? What's your advice on that?"
That's a good question. Well, it's a lot of factors that we need to take into consideration, right? I always said, and I said it for 25 years, when somebody asked me, when is the best time to buy? My answer is always today.
Today.
Because it's the only time I can advise you with the best, you know, information. I know what's happening now. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did. I wouldn't be doing this radio show or working at all. But we cannot predict the future. I know what is happening now. I can see them with the client. I said, let's go. Let's look at all your options. Let's see what the rates are. Let's see what your credit is. Let's see what your payment will be. And how much will it cost you to wait?
That's right.
Most of the time, if you wait, it's going to be in detriment to you.
That's right.
I'd rather do it right now. And if you can save more money, then you can start either paying down the debt or buying down the rate later on. But if you cannot get into the market now, I will advise you to do it. And also, I always tell every single of my buyers, especially on this time of year when people think, well, nothing moves, nobody sells. It's quite the opposite, I think. It's the right moment to buy because if the house is in the market, the seller is really motivated.
Sure.
And they're really to have people, you know, going through their house through the holidays. More than likely, they need to sell. So your opportunities to have some opportunities there on there, either at a better price or a better term, or getting some closing costs or whatever, it's happening now. So my response to that, to the client, will be, let's get into it now.
Well, think about this. Think about interest rates, which are such a big thing for people. So let's take an example of interest rates at 7.25. And we've already established that we've been moving at a very slow 4.9% appreciation scale. So if you have a customer that comes or a client that comes and says, well, I want to wait until rates drop into the sixes. Okay, well, let's take that. A $400,000 house at 10% is $40,000. So 4.9% is about 20 grand.
Yeah.
So if you wait, you're paying $20,000 more for a house to save a couple hundred bucks on your payment. So even when rates are higher, you can always refinance that rate. But houses in a market where there's not a lot of homes on the market is consistently going up, and you will not be able to outdo, waiting is never going to outdo what the home is moving at.
100%. And I always do the same numbers, but I do a little bit of reverse on that. Let's use the same example. If it's 20,000, but if it's going to cost you $100 more now, well, divide 20,000 by 100, and that's how many months you need to wait to get it. More than likely, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
So you better off doing it now, and then you can refinance or do different things, but the price of the house is not going to devalue.
Yeah.
Interest rates can change. So
That's right.
Isn't there a lot of good first-time home buyer programs as well?
Yeah, there are a lot of them, and there's always money available. And now that the year is coming into, you know, new year, counties have some money for first-time home buyers. Cities have for first-time home buyers. There is one program that is one of the best programs I ever seen. It's called the First Generation. It's for somebody that is the first person and their family buying a property. This up to $33,000 that you can use. And also, you can add the Minnesota housing, which is $17,000. I just did a month ago to a client, and he received $54,000 in help. And that's somebody that nobody in her family ever bought a home before. That is a fantastic program.
That's crazy. So in the 33 and then the 15, is that a gift or is that repaid back?
That is a great question. On the First Generation, if you live there 5 years, it's a grant.
It's a grant.
Yeah.
Wow.
So every year that you stay in the house, you discount that price or that grant or that help by 20%. If you live there 5 years, that is free money.
Yeah,
the Minnesota crazy. Part, there's different layers depending on your credit, depending how much you make. But most of the time, it's zero interest, no payments until you either sell or refi. If you never sell or refi, that money's free as well.
That's right. Well, and guys, if you're out there, if you're a grandparent or you're a parent and your child or grandson or granddaughter is thinking about buying a house, you've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. November, December, and the first few weeks of January is your time to write. Again, I'm showing in that price range today, under 450, 144 homes on the market. Fast forward till the end of January, first couple weeks in February, there's going to be 10 offers on every single one of those. So at the time right now where we can actually get a deal and get closing costs paid, we can maybe get a little bit off on list price. You know, they have an option right now. Fast forward 2 months, there is no option.
That is correct.
You know, 2022 as an example, an extreme example, every single sale that I did that year that was a first-time home buyer, I had the parent give the down payment because unless you were putting 20% down, you could not buy a house. There were 20, 30 offers on everything. A 3.5% down FHA or 5% down conventional isn't getting the house at that point. Well, we're not in that anymore. We got a nice little slow appreciation, plenty of homes right now. So again, if you were out there listening and thinking, Well, I want to wait till the spring market because there's going to be more homes on the market and more choices. And you are not selling anything. You're just buying. Right now is your time. It is. Believe that and take it to the bank.
100%. I agree. I said that before. Like, right now is the best time to buy. Because, again, if the house is for sale, the sellers are motivated.
That's right. Yep, that's right. We've got James Dill. We were talking a little bit about his business, the PM Network.
Yeah.
What do you think is your? We were talking about some of the issues that buyers have or that they think. What is the main hurdle that you have to get over when you meet with a new customer?
The main hurdle? Well, budget and timeline.
Usually. Budget and timeline. What about trust?
Well, you got me on that one. Yeah, trust is probably a big, big one.
I was gonna think those would be the ones I would think. Can I trust you? When can you get it done? Are you gonna get it done in time? And how much does it cost? I mean, if it was me, that would be it. I was just curious if that was what you found.
Yep. It really is trust. If someone trusts you, then they're gonna walk through the whole process. Because doing a large remodel or an addition or a home build, it's a long process. It's a process.
Yeah.
And so you have to trust each other. You're more of a team at that point. You know, when you're doing a large project like that. And so, yeah, trust is huge.
Yeah, you know, it's in our industry, and this has always really surprised me, but Rodolfo will know this as well. So on the list of untrusted professions, the only one that real estate agents are above is used car salesman.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I don't know, Rodolfo, maybe you can talk about this too. I've been doing this for 25 years. You have too. I got to tell you that 99% of all the agents that I've met, that I've done business with, really do care about their clients first, money second. I don't see the same, and of course they're out there. In any industry, you're going to have dirtballs out there. But for the most part, I don't run into that. I run into people that are taking care of their clients first. The money will come. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. I never understood that statistic. You know, it almost bothers me. Well, not almost. It bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when they tell me that I'm just above this used car salesman, that's pretty bad.
Come on, you're not lawyers.
Yeah. Especially, well, lawyers are just above.
Yeah, lawyers and that are with us. But I'm with you. When I talk to other agents, we'll be in transactions, which always more than likely will be another agent on the other side. Everybody's looking for the best interest of their client.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Maybe we need to redo those pooling because I think it's different now. Maybe it used to be, before, but I think it's different.
And in the construction industry, it's very similar. Like you said, what's a hurdle? Well, it's getting them to trust you because they don't. A lot of times people are jaded. They don't trust the regular contractor. That's why our model is different because a lot of people don't trust the regular general contractor model because they're taking, you're risking a lot of funds when you do an addition. If you give someone $400,000, $500,000 for them to manage, I don't believe contractors should be money managers. You know, yeah. That may get me in trouble with other contractors, but I don't believe that you should be managing $400,000 or $500,000 for a client. That's why we leave the money in the client's hands. So it's easier for the client to trust us and to be their advocate and to help them, figure out all the true numbers on their project.
Well, and I also think when I think about the used car salesman versus real estate agent, I also think it's where there's the biggest impact on the person and the most unknown. So real estate is a very complicated transaction. There's lots of moving parts to it. Interest rates, appreciation goes up, it goes down. And so a lot of times I think it's I bought a house for 400 grand and now it's worth 300. And they're mad at their agent for putting them in that house and making the mistake instead of looking at the overall what was going on in the marketplace and that agent wouldn't have any response. But it hurts more. You know, if you buy a pair of jeans and you pay $5, you probably don't hate the jean salesman. But if you buy a house and you move in and the furnace blows
something
up,
goes bad.
Well, you should have known that. Or we should have done this extra inspection. We should have done this. There's just so many big parts to it, and it's such a painful event when something goes wrong. I think that might kind of roll into why people put us in that category.
I think so. That you said it right. The best way it's possible to describe, like everything, is you remember the one bad thing that happened after 6 months or a year sometimes to helping a client to get into the right place. And it's almost like Murphy's Law, You move into a house, something is going to happen. It's like it happens, 70% of the time, 60% of the times? But it's not because we didn't know it was going to happen. It just happened. Like a furnace breaks, you and I will know about that.
That's right.
You know, that's impossible.
When you're buying a home or you're doing a remodel or anything, it's really what can help avoid that, I guess, what can mitigate it the most is communication.
Yeah.
Well, like good communication.
Well, yeah, and things like this. So we just had a, we represent the seller. Okay, so the buyer just closed on it, had their walkthrough, closed on the property. This is literally 2 days ago. First day that they move into the property, the furnace goes out. Okay, they didn't get a warranty, so they've got a furnace that goes out. Well, I'm the bad guy because they, you know, and I don't represent that buyer. So it's not that I don't care that the furnace went out, but I represent my seller, only my seller. And so the reality is, she warranties the property until closing.
Yep.
That's why you have a walkthrough. Everything works. You move in. Now, whether that furnace goes out day one, week one, or after the first year, the same rule applies. She conveyed that house. You did your walkthrough. You did your due diligence. She is not responsible for that furnace. Now, these buyers hate my guts and think I'm a complete jerk, but I don't represent them. I represent my seller.
And remember, they also have an inspection. So the inspection passed. Everything was right. The furnace just happened to go bad. And I, you know what? Now we know why they think that we're only about the sales guy person. Because again, they remember the one bad thing happened. And it didn't matter if you represent them or not. Now they think all realtors are bad because now they're mad at their realtor for not talking to you and fixing the furnace.
That's like, right. Hey, we're up against our last, Blake. We do have a call waiting, Micah. Hopefully you can wait through the break. We'd love to take your phone call when we get back. We will handle that. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Yes, that is us, the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We are in our final segment before the end of the show. We have had Micah holding through the break. Appreciate that. Micah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
Hey, I was just listening here. You guys talking about the survey where it sounds like real estate agents are not the most trusted person.
Yes.
And all the real estate agents I've ever worked with have been extremely trustworthy. And I think what the survey might be showing is that maybe not the people not trusting the actual agents. I think it's maybe a little bit of a distrust in the system. And the idea, am I getting my full value when I'm paying 6% trying to sell $500,000 home, as opposed to if the system was a little bit different? I'm curious your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think you hit it. Kind of what we were talking about on the break a little bit is, It's such a big thing and hard to understand, and a lot, and when you bring up commission, obviously that's a big thing. You know, we know as agents, a really good real estate agent will not have, I always call it riding the roller coaster. Our clients won't ride that roller coaster, so there are lots of things, lots of fires that are put out through the way, lots of things that are taken care of that the client doesn't know about. So that they have a smooth transaction. But I do think there are a lot of agents that don't have that capacity. For the most part, I just haven't seen it.
No, I agree. First of all, thank you for saying that most of us are decent people. Yeah. We want to do the right thing. But things happen. And you're right. Being a real estate, at the beginning, when you know, asked me about my story, and I said I never sold anything, one of my mentors told me something at the beginning, and it really stuck to me. Doing real estate, we don't sell anything.
It's not sales.
Because no, we don't really owe anything. We don't do any of that. It's stress management. It's strictly straight management.
That's right.
And advice to do the right thing on an
need
investment.
Need assessment.
Yeah, need assessment. And that is 100% true. People think the realtors just open the doors and show you a house. That's what we do. Well, I always said that, well, a monkey can do that.
That's right.
Right? But we do behind the scenes, and it takes sometimes 30, 60, 90 days of calls, emails, trying to figure it out with the city, the title company, the other agent, the lender. There's so many things that happen behind the scenes that we don't share that with the client because we try to avoid stress
for them. Yeah, that's our job.
That's our job. And that's something that they don't see behind the scenes. So thank you for saying that we're better than the used car salesman, Micah. I appreciate that. And we'll do the best we can to help our clients. I agree 100% on that.
And we're not disparaging car salesmen. I'm sure.
No.
It's a good living. I'm sure you guys are misunderstood as well. Hey, we're just in our last 10 minutes here, guys. Rodolfo, I know there's a listing that we need to hit.
Yeah, we have one listing for our agent and our team, Susan Mall. And the listing is 17775 Empire Trail in Lakeville. It's a $545,000 home. It's 6 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, 3-car garage. It's a newer home. Open concept living, built in 2025. 3 bedrooms on the main level, 3 bedrooms on the lower level. Walk-out basement, large family room, move-in ready. Quick close possible. It's close to everything, shopping malls, park, entertainment, school. Really, really nice place. So take a look at it, 17775 on Pirate Trail Lake in Lakeville, Minnesota. And the price is $545.
Very nice. And Susan Mall is a very, very good agent. You know, Rodolfo, before we wrap up the show and get back to James, maybe get everybody your contact info if somebody wants to reach out to you to work with you.
Thank you. Rodolfo Trujillo, RT. My cell phone number is 612-384-7493. Me puede llamar en inglés o en español al 612-384-7493.
Very, very cool. James, any last thoughts about your business that people should know about, and then also your contact info as well?
Last thoughts is, yeah, I mean, if you want a transparent experience with a contractor who can help walk you through your entire project, give us a call.
Yeah, and what's your contact info?
So, yeah, it is 651-325-6834, or you can reach us on yourpmnetwork.com.
Yep, or the MN Real Estate Show website. All of our preferred partners are there, and James is there under contractors, right? Is it under contractors?
Yes.
Very cool. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We got a few minutes left. If you wanted to get in a last question, 612-294-6949. You were talking earlier, Rodolfo, about if you had a crystal ball, you wouldn't be working. put that crystal ball to work right now. What do you see happening through 2026? If you were to guess, obviously.
Yeah, if I were to guess, well, you know, we always do a pretty good guesses. I mean, being in real estate, we're always looking at all the stats. We're looking at the economy. We're looking at every aspect because we need to be prepared.
Right.
I make the joke about the crystal ball, but it's true. We always try to be as prepared as possible. I think 2026 is looking bright. I think it's going to be a little bit better than last year, even though last year was good. Interest rates are going to stay where they are right now, anywhere between 6 and 6.5. I don't think they're going to go lower than 6, no higher than 6.5. So it's going to be a very strong spring market. Be ready for that. A lot of more properties are going to hit the market, in my opinion. We're going to have another good real estate year in 2026.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think some of the positive things, there's been some of new construction has taken another big jump. We got rid of some of the regulations that have been kind of hampering new construction where it wasn't as profitable. Those are going away. That should help. But you're right. If we're 9,500 homes right now, you can pretty much bank on February. We're going to probably be between 6,500 to 7,500 homes. That is very, very low inventory. It's going to be a big boom. So again, you know, when we talk about what's the best time to buy, it is right now. And people think, well, yeah, but 2008, you guys talked about, was a horrible time. No, it was a horrible time to sell.
Correct.
It was the best market
we'd ever had to
buy a house. I called my clients. I'm like, if you have discretionary money, buy everything that you can possibly buy. So that investor I talked about that bought they bought 18 townhomes for $45,000 that are now worth 3.25. Another 10 came on that were 55,000, and my client's like, "Ooh, I don't know if I want to spend 50." I'm like, "Dude, buy them all." And he didn't. He did not.
Oh,
he didn't want
wow.
to spend 55. And of course, he's called me. He's like, "I cannot believe I did not buy those." But that's human nature, right?
Yeah,
when you're
absolutely.
In it, when you're in it, something in your brain says, "Gosh, is this ever going to come back, or is our house is really worth 55,000 now, and they're going to stay that way?" Well, of course, we know that's not going to happen, but that's what humans do. You never really know.
I didn't buy Bitcoin when it was 400. And my friend was like, "You guys need to buy four of them right now." Because when we had the money, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't trust.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's how we work.
Most people panic at that one, the moment, you know, and that's what happened in every part, real estate, stocks, Bitcoin, whatever. When everybody panics, is the time to buy.
That's right. Yeah, it is. So 2026, if you are getting yourself prepared, meet with your lender now. Mike Overson with Luminate Home Loans is incredible. A loan officer of the year. That is our main preferred partner. He's also a guest host on the show a lot. You can reach out to him at applywithmike.com, and he will take care of you. And again, folks, it's, you know, we're in the holiday season here, so the O'Neill Brothers concert, pianobrothers.com, you can find them there, where you can actually sign up to go to the concert. Tickets are really affordable. Super fun family night. And the O'Neill Foundation, where you can give, and all that money is used for families in the Twin Cities specifically that need help directly.
And also, this is the first year, Scott, if you remember, they're also going to have a stream. You can stream it online. So you can,
you can stream it.
You can pay a smaller fee, and then you can stream it directly live.
Oh, wow.
That's the first year they're going to do that.
Yeah, that's very, very, very cool. All right, guys. Well, we really appreciate you tuning in. Again, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, 20 years on air, and we hope a lot more. You can always get a hold of us, 612-294-6949. Have an incredible holiday season with your family. Stay safe out there. And today, stay warm.
Stay warm.